Well, Meredith has to pick up Richard from jail, plus she has to deliver news to Maggie. So much is going on. The windstorm is taking over the hospital. We're talking about all that and more coming up on the Grey's Anatomy After Show.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, this is the theme song. It's the fall finale, so why not just open up with the theme song? And guys, it is just me tonight. I'm your girl, Elle Marie. Krista and Chelsea aren't able to be here with me tonight, but I'm going to hold it down, and hopefully you guys in the chat will help me out as well with your thoughts like you always do every week. So I'll check in with the chat. This week's episode, it was a lot going on. Like I said in the intro, it's like a ooh child moment. So much is going on. So much is happening. So we're going to go ahead and get right into it. So it opens up with Meredith having to pick up Richard from jail. They're having a moment. This windstorm is starting, which is very crazy. It's not a tornado, but just very, very high winds. And as they're sitting in the car talking, because Meredith is addressing his issues, like he needs a sponsor. And especially now that she knows what's going on with Catherine, she really wants to emphasize the fact that he needs to get it together and get a sponsor. Because, you know, life comes at you hard. And she says something similar to that. And then, boom, a tree, like, smashes her windshield. That's like a wake-up call, Richard. You got to get it together. So he goes to work. He's looking for Bailey. Nope, excuse me. He's looking for Alex to let him know that he got arrested. Because at first, I'm thinking, why do you have to go telling yourself? But I guess as a surgeon, if he lost his temper, if he feels like his mind isn't right, of course you don't want a doctor like that operating on you. So he had to go and tell his superior at the moment. But Kareb wasn't there. He's locked into his home because of the storm. They can't get out. So Bailey was there, and he told Bailey about the issue. Of course, she knows Richard. She knows his past. That's his work wife. And so she's surprised and shocked when he told her that he went to a bar. She's like, Richard, no. But he assured her that he didn't drink, but he did lose his cool. He lost his temper. So she just had to let him know that, you know, it couldn't really work that much on patients, but do paperwork and things like that. So Richard's kind of just going around the hospital. He went to see the baby of the nurse that we lost last week, which was nice. But you can see that Richard is still struggling with some things. And then he decides to go ahead and give Catherine a call, and Karasik answers the phone for Richard, because he knows of their history with Catherine and Karasik. That wasn't a good sign for him, because as we know, he doesn't know what's going on yet. He doesn't know about Catherine's cancer. So he automatically assumes that's an issue, that he's answering her phone, and he just hangs up. So now he's kind of stressed out about that. Ooh-wee. I can't wait to get to predictions on how I feel this is going to work out. But that's kind of what's going on with Richard now. Not really a lot, but a lot. If that makes sense, you watch the show, so you know, it makes sense. So, but I want to move on to Meredith and Cece. And Cece is peeping, like, everything that's going on in that hospital. I mean, she's been there for a while now. So she tells Meredith about Lincoln. Link, because he likes to shorten his name. And with Link, she shows a picture like, oh, this guy is hot. He has kind eyes. You should like him. Meredith is like, yeah, I know. He works here. I'm like, duh. But the funny thing is DeLuca is in the room at this moment. And you can see all in him that he's getting so annoyed, because, you know, he has his thing for Meredith. And he's getting very annoyed that Cece is, like, pushing Link on Meredith. Like, yeah, he's pretty hot. He looks kind. He's a surgeon. Why not? Right? I don't know. If you guys hop in the chat, I want to know what you guys think. Okay, so like I've said, I think Link is more like long term, but I just feel like I'm not sure if Meredith is really ready. I know it's been a while since Derek, and she has tried to get back into dating, but I don't know if it's that or I just like DeLuca. I think it might just be that I like DeLuca, and I'm team DeLuca. So I want to know what you guys are saying in the chat. If you think you are team Lincoln or team DeLuca, I want to know. But like I said, I am team DeLuca, because later on in the episode, DeLuca gets the nerve to tell Meredith how he feels about her. Because first he had to let Cece know about her complications with her surgery. So I need to backtrack and let you guys know how we got there. I will. So, but he had like this brave moment, right? So, and then he's going to Meredith. Well, like, since I'm in the brave spirit, still being brave, I want you to know, I know you have options, but I'm an option too. And I was like, ooh. See, this is how I want to feel when Jackson is talking to somebody. I miss that. Like, I don't get that excited with Jackson and Maggie when they have their moments. But, like, DeLuca, he was like, Meredith was like, DeLuca, like, I can't. And he's like, Meredith. He's, like, walking all up into her. I hope I'm, like, delivering that same effect that DeLuca did with Meredith. But, yeah, so he's walking up on her to let her know that he's interested. And, like, that kiss, it wasn't just a kiss at the wedding. It meant something for him. He can't stop thinking about it. And he wants to make his move. Prior to that, though, Meredith told Lincoln she's up for drinks if the offer still stands. So, Meredith is going to have some choosing to do. But let's touch on Cece for a moment, because like I said, she's been in the hospital for a while because she's been waiting for her heart transplant. So we have this young lady that comes into the hospital, a victim of the windstorm. So a selfie stick gets lodged into her head, into her brain. She's speaking and everything, so she seems to be okay. But Amelia is like, when we take this out, there is a possibility of you bleeding out, your brain swelling, possibly a coma, and asked the girl, her name was Phoebe, if she wanted to call anyone. So she called her mom, but she didn't really tell her mom exactly what was going on, like the severity of what was going on. So she just like let her know she was going to have surgery and to take care of her dogs. And she gets off the phone and she's like, she doesn't want to scare her mom. But Amelia, because we know she's what she's going through right now with Betty, because Betty has been missing for a few days. And she's like, she's pretty scared because moms just know. They know. But to be honest, the mom didn't come to the hospital. I'm surprised, though, because you could hear, I'm sure she could hear like the fear and the crying in her daughter's voice. But I guess she felt like she was grown. And if she'd be okay, she'll just call and check on her. Unfortunately, Phoebe didn't make it. The mother was calling her. Amelia had to answer and let her know that her daughter passed, unfortunately. But the silver lining was that they checked to see if she was a donor, and she was, and she matched Cece. So now Cece is able to get her heart. We got some more talk about that, but I'll get to that in a moment. Don't want to jump ahead like too far. But that's the silver lining, unfortunately, of Phoebe's passing away, is that she's able to be a donor for Cece. I'll get back to Amelia and Betty with that whole situation for a second, but first, I have a message for you guys. So, hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve TV fans. But we need your help, guys. We're asking you to please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you and help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about the pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So make sure you hit the subscribe button for this channel and more. And let us know, so we'll shout you out in the comments. But for right now, we just want to thank you for being the best fans ever, and thank you for being the fans of the ESPN TV of talk. It's good to get that out at the end. But yeah, so make sure you guys subscribe to the channels. Also, if you are listening on iTunes, make sure you guys rate us with the 5 stars. And also, if you don't know by now, you can also check us out on Spotify. So, let me check out the chat. I see a few of you guys in there. Ooh, I like this. Merluka. So we have Prison Mike. He's for DeLuca. He's Team DeLuca. Tabby Bear 68. She's Team DeLuca. And then we have some for Link. So Brave Unicorn, Team Link. And Nevermore 667 is Team Link. Let's see. We have Prison Rat, Prison Mike. Don't get me wrong. I like both. I just prefer DeLuca. I agree with you. Like, I think I was trying to make an excuse, like, oh, maybe Meredith's not ready yet. But no, it's just because I prefer DeLuca. I like it. It works better for me. But I think with the Luca, it's more lustful. So that probably won't really last, and she needs something lasting. So Link is probably the better option, just for me personally. I'm Team DeLuca. Team DeLuca. Alrighty. So before we get to Teddy and Owen and Amelia and Betty, that whole thing, that's pretty like a pretty thick part of this episode. Let's talk about Schmidt and Lee for a second. Just little things that happen with them. So they're working on a patient together, a Pete's patient, and Schmidt is telling him that he had to call Karev, of course, because like I said earlier, Karev is locked in his house. He can't get out of his house because of the storm. So he calls Karev to get advice or what to do with this patient. And he kind of delivers the message to Dr. Lee, which now we know his name is Nico. We're like, what is his first name? They just keep calling him Dr. Lee. So now we know it's Nico. So then it's like the conversation basically turns into like, I may not be able to do this because I don't have as much experience as you, but I can do it. And basically, it's like, we're not talking about medical situations anymore. He's talking about his love life. Like, just because you're more experienced in that area, you've been out of the closet for a while, that doesn't mean that I can't do this, doesn't mean that I don't want to do this. So he kind of set Dr. Lee in his place a little bit, but Dr. Lee's still, like, not going because he's... like, I can't be the one to help you out of the closet. I've gone through that. I've been through that. And I think more so, like, I don't want to be your first one. Like, I don't want to be your test and things like that. But later on, they're near the emergency room entrance where the ambulance are. And Dr. Lee went outside and almost got blown away by the wind. He comes back in. Schmidt tells him how, like, dangerous that is to do so. Tries to give him advice and, like, okay, well, fine. If you're going to go out there, go this way, whatever. Basically, they end up outside together. Schmidt has to help him because he doesn't listen to him. He goes outside and basically gets blown away. So Schmidt goes to help him. They end up in an ambulance to take cover. And Schmidt has to let him know about his past and his upbringing. Like, he really didn't even have a lot of options or a lot of choices. He always knew that he had an attraction to men, but he grew up as a nerd. So there wasn't really any interaction with women or men. But he knew he had an attraction. But he just didn't know what to do with it because he never really had the opportunity to expand on that, to get that experience, to have a crush on someone or to make out with somebody. He just didn't have the options. So now he has that option and he wants to explore it. Like, you're not my test guy. Let me explore this. You're just the first. And that's okay. Like, let's get through this together. And I agree with Schmidt. Like, understand where I came from, understand my upbringing and that it's different from yours. And everyone comes to, I guess, this realization at a different point in time. He came to his later and Lee was the one to bring it out of him. And then, of course, Lee did kind of feel like, okay, I understand that. And also, Schmidt kind of saved Lee. And I think that turned Lee on a little bit. So they definitely started making out in the ambulance. I'll add this in predictions because some craziness happens with that storm. So I don't know if they're going to make it out of that ambulance, but it got pretty hot and heavy in that ambulance with them. So I'm actually for them. I hope that their relationship develops now that Lee has more of an understanding of Schmidt and who he is, what type of person he is. So I'm actually here for their relationship and here for the growth of their relationship. So I hope that works out. And I hope none of them, like, croak in the ambulance, because you know Grace, the moment we get happy for someone, they take our happiness away. That's just what they do. Let's touch on Bailey and Ben very quickly. If you guys are fans of Station 19, it looks like this storm is brewing over on that show as well. So you'll probably see more of Ben and Bailey's struggles possibly on Station 19. I don't really watch that show that much. I'm not sure. But like from the preview, it seems that that's what we're going to get. But in Grey's, Ben comes over to kind of board up the house for Bailey. Since they're not staying in the same home anymore, they're on a sabbatical from a marriage. It's not really a thing. But if it helps Bailey, it helps her stress. We don't want her having another heart attack. So she has to do what's best for her right now, and that's a sabbatical. So he comes over to, like I say, board up the house. Later on, she's telling Richard about it once Richard tells her that he thinks Catherine's having that affair, right? So she lets Richard know that her and Ben aren't even living in the same house right now. And once again, you know, the sabbatical, because she is stressed out, because she just worries about him so much. To be honest, though, I don't know the difference, like whether he's in the home or not. Like, you're still going to worry about him. He's still your husband. You're still married. So I don't know. Maybe if she feels like his absence already out of her life can help her a little bit. I don't know. Hey, like I said, she has to do what's best for her. I don't agree with that, because like I said, he's still your husband. He's still in your life. You're still going to worry. I don't really get that. But I really think if you guys aren't fans of Station 19, check it out this week. Come back and let us know when we're come back from the fall break, because I want to know if they went into Bailey and Ben's relationship a little bit more on that show. So if you are a fan of it, let us know. If not, just check it out, right, for me, please. And let us know how that goes. Also, Bailey was kind of tapping into her old self this episode, taking charge because the ER is filled, and also they're keeping the hospital open. It's like the only hospital open right now because everyone else is closing down. Their trauma center is full, but Bailey's like, no, this is a brick house. We're not going anywhere. You know, no amount of wind, no huff, no puff can blow us down. That's basically what she said. But she had to get everybody together because it was pure chaos in the ER. And she's like, hey, stop. This is what we're going to do. These patients go to this floor and so forth and so forth, and got everybody together. And then that moment, I was like, oh, Bailey still has it. And what did she say? I still got it. It's like, I kind of love when we get old Bailey back, because we don't see her too much. We really just don't. Let's see. Anybody else in the chat? Let's see what we have here. Someone saying that they like Schmidt a little bit more this episode. They should have done this from the start with the interns. We've been saying that. That's Nevermore 667. We've been saying that. Like, that's why we can't really get into these interns, because we don't really know much about them. We just see them and, like, the silly mistakes that they make and things like that. And because we don't really know their backstory, we sometimes get irritated with them. It's like, I don't really want to see them. I don't. You know what I mean? Like, what's your point? What's your purpose? Move on. What's going on with Meredith? What's going on with Karev? Because we know them. We know their backstory. So I agree with you, Nevermore 667. And they would do that a little more with the other interns too, like Helm. And seems like it's just Helm and Schmidt. But yeah, so open up. So we got a little bit more Schmidt. Give us a little bit more of Helm so we can get to know her too and start to like her. Let's talk about Jackson and Maggie, because okay, here's the thing. I thought this episode was going to take us closer to their breakup, and it actually kind of did the opposite. Possibly, maybe. It's that little bit of a cliffhanger there. We don't really know which way they're going to go, but with the storm, there's this old couple. The man gets, like, a candy cane? Like, decoration stuck in his body. So him and his wife, they're an older couple. They've been married for 45 years. They are going back and forth, fighting like cats and dogs. But the surgery went well with the older guy. So he survived. And the wife was surprised. And Jackson was too, a little bit. And he's like, yeah, like, nothing, no major arteries were harmed or anything like that. He's going to be fine. And he told her he's going to need some rest. Just be quiet for a few days or a couple of weeks. Jackson, you have some nerve. But anyway, I guess he was trying to look out for the guy, feeling like his wife argues with him too much, nags him too much. But the wife told him, like, she's loved him every day for 45 years. And within that 45 years, she doesn't think that they would have made it without any fighting. And I agree with her, because it's life. 45 years, it's life. We fight with our siblings, cousins, friends. If you don't, I feel as if you are possibly hiding something from them. You're not being your true self with them, and vice versa, because at some point you have to butt heads. At some point you have to be able to be strong enough to tell someone when they're wrong and things like that. So if you don't fight, it's a very surface relationship. And so I think that kind of got to Jackson to make him realize, like, okay, this was maybe just their first big fight, and they can't let it go just off of that. If they do love each other, which I don't really see that love, but whatever. If they love each other, they can make it through this and, you know, their relationship will survive. So he finds Maggie and then they talk. And Maggie, now that she knows about his mom, because did I tell it? Let me backtrack for you guys because I didn't mention that. But so Meredith has to tell Maggie about Catherine. And I say has to tell her because Meredith is being very short with Maggie because Maggie is opening up to her and telling her about the issues she's having with Jackson. And she made a small little comment earlier in the day like, oh, great, you're back early so I don't have to eat ice cream, drink wine alone. And Meredith like, okay, kind of dismissed it. And Maggie's like, okay. She let that one go. Then they're in surgery and she's talking about it some more and she can tell how Meredith just really seems to like not be interested in the conversation. So she confronts her about that. And then Meredith has to let her know, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of the same thing, same advice that other woman was giving her. It's small. It's a fight and it's small and there are bigger things in life to worry about. And if she loved Jackson, like she has to be there for him right now and not be away. Like, if you don't love him and that's that, then fine, walk away. Don't even worry about the fight. Just let it go. But if you love him, he's going to need you right now. So we go back, fast forward to Maggie and Jackson talking. And they just kiss because they feel like, well, Jackson feels as if Maggie knows. Like, okay, yes, they are agreeing to, like, let's not fight. Let's just make up. That's silly. We can make it through this. But then Maggie has to pull back and say, no, it's your mom. Like, I have to tell you about your mom. And we fade out to another scene. So we will have to wait until they come back for the conclusion of that. But like I said, it's like it seemed as if they were going down the breakup train. But now they're getting back on the relationship train and moving forward. So we'll have to see what happens with that. But if Maggie should be there for him, though, because if she has that tendency to walk away when things get rough, if she does really love him, this is her time now to prove it. We talked last week about how Jackson was right. She just leaves when times get hard. So this will be a really big test for her to see if she's going to make it through the relationship and be able to be there for him. Let's see what else we have in the chat right here. Let's see. Something about Maggie. Okay, when she first came on, I didn't like Maggie. Then I did, but now she's on my nerves again. So Jazz41173, let me read that again. So she says that when Maggie first came on the show, she didn't like her. But then she did, and now she's on her nerves again. I kind of feel the same way. But I think that's just Maggie's character, because you kind of have to get to know her. But at the same time, she's still getting to know herself. So that's why we probably get a little bit annoyed with her. But let's be patient with Maggie. Let's try to grow with Maggie. I don't know if I want to grow with Jackie, but I'm going to be patient with Maggie and see how that goes. All right. I feel like let's get into the meat and potatoes of this episode. So the episode that we missed when the whole panel wasn't here that week, we had some technical difficulties. So we didn't touch too much on the fact that Amelia and Owen were looking for Betty. And we know it's been like 3 days. They didn't know where she was. They hadn't heard from her. And so she pops up at the hospital. Not only that, Teddy pops up at the hospital this week. So it's just a lot going on. And Amelia can't even really talk to Betty at the moment because she used. So, and she told them there's no need for a test or anything like that because it is going to come back positive because she was out using. And she apologized. Wasn't really that remorseful. She says she wants to get clean. Hopefully she's telling the truth about that. She's being honest about wanting to get clean. So we'll see how that goes. But at the time, Amelia just couldn't talk to her because I feel like Amelia felt like she knew that this was coming and she couldn't really prevent it. And she was definitely terrified and worried about Betty. That's why she told Phoebe when Phoebe told Amelia that she didn't want her mom to be scared. And then Amelia's like, well, once Phoebe goes under the anesthesia, Amelia whispers, she's scared. She's pretty scared. Because like I said, she's a mom. She's going to worry. Once Phoebe passed, Amelia went to Betty and just gave her like the tightest hug. Said, thank you for coming back. Just make sure you always come back. And I think she also said that to let her know that she has a safe place to come back to. Because that's important, not only for an addict, but for a child. More importantly, for a child. Because if they feel that judgment, if they feel that they aren't welcome, they'll probably still try to run away and push away the people that are trying to help them. But if they don't really feel that the help is genuine and the help is judgmental and harsh, like I said, they'll run away from it. So I think she just also wanted Betty to know that she has a safe place with her now. Teddy and Owen. Oh, Teddy. Teddy. I want to know, you guys hop in the chat. I want to know your thoughts on this situation with Teddy, Owen, and Amelia. So Teddy did something that irks my nerves when people do this. She tells Owen that she has something to tell him and then tells him she's going to wait until after they're done with the surgery. You guys are about to operate on someone. All that's in Owen's mind now is, what do you have to tell me? I mean, it's Teddy. So if I have to tell you something and we have to have a talk, it's probably serious. Owen knows that it's serious. So he's steady asking her during the surgery, like, well, what is it? Are you sick? Are you dying? Someone we know is dying? Like, what's happening? She's like, not now. It's not the time. And Owen is steady going on, like, well, what is it? Because I hate when people say, I have something to tell you, but I'll tell you later, or call me later. I'll tell you when you get home. No, tell me now, or just wait until you can talk to me to talk to me. Wait. Like, why would you say that going into a surgery? Excuse me. Oh, that's silly. Silly girl. So they are working on the guy from the couple, the older couple. And like I said, he had that candy cane stuck in his body. And miraculously, there was nothing wrong with him. So once they kind of figure that out, I guess once Teddy feels like, oh, the man is safe, he's gonna make it and everything, she just blurts out to Owen, I'm pregnant. And yes, it's your baby. And then they call and, Dr. Altman, you're needed in OR, whatever. So she has to like drop everything and then run off. Really, Grace? Really? I would have been so upset if I was Owen. I would have like ran out too. Like, you have to close him up. I don't, someone else can do it. Because I have to, like, who drops that bomb like that? Oh, I'm pregnant. Bye. Teddy. Come on now. You've already been holding this secret for months. And then that's how you deliver the news? I don't know. Now you... I think I'm team Amelia with this situation, with this love triangle. So many love triangles with Grey's Anatomy all the time. But I think I want to say that I'm Teddy and Amelia for this one, because at the times where we were annoyed with Amelia, it was more so her tumor. What's your reason, Teddy? Okay, maybe her hormones, I guess. Fine. We'll chalk it up to the hormones. But Teddy, still, that was just very distasteful how you told him. And then you leave him with the stress of like having all of these questions. And then the funny part, you always have to have some type of comic relief. Jackson's like, congratulations. I think maybe. Like, how are you feeling? Then he tried to make Owen feel better about it by telling him like, hey, I was the last one to know about Harriet. And, you know, she's the best thing that ever happened to me. And then Owen's like, oh, yeah, okay. And he runs off to go find Teddy to, you know, have a conversation. They have to have a conversation about this, because it doesn't only affect him. Now it affects everything. It does affect Amelia, because now they're sleeping together again. Clearly, I guess they're trying to work on their relationship. He's trying to adopt a child. So how is that going to work when they find out, well, he's going to have another new baby on the way, he's not with the mom? That could cause a lot of chaos in the home. That's what the courts could possibly think, and could maybe delay or have a problem with him adopting Leo. So it's like, and you know all of this though, Teddy. Like, this is a sit-down conversation, not a blurt out. This is a sit down. Let me check the chat. What do you guys say? Teddy Bear 68 says, I never liked Teddy. Yeah, she's on my nerve right now. Katie Kate Master says, I want Amelia to be happy. True, I do too. Brave Unicorn, yeah. Team Amelia and Owen. Nevermore 667 says Amelia was happy in LA. I mean, you know, you don't really have like seasonal depression and things like that in LA. It's kind of easy to be happy in LA, but I am team Amelia and Owen, and Amelia has been through some things. I can't quite say if she went through that pregnancy before or after her stay at private practice. So I'll just leave that thought alone because I'm not sure when the pregnancy happened. But we know, like, she's dealing with that and dealing with her tumor, like her new self, new ideas, new thoughts, because the tumor was affecting those things now. So she can look at things in a different way, look at things clearer, be more happy, kind of dealing with the death of her child and wanting to open up and be a mom now. And she decides to that she wants to do that with Betty. She sees how close she's gotten to her, how attached, how concerned she is about Betty. And she wants to be her foster mom or try to adopt her. And great fashion, she tells Owen and Teddy this in the elevator. So Owen is going to rush after Teddy to have this conversation about her being pregnant. Right when he gets to the elevator, here comes Amelia, like, oh, hey guys, I think I want to adopt Betty. Smiles on her face, and Teddy and Owen don't have the same reaction. And the thing is, Amelia knows nothing about the situation yet. She doesn't know that Teddy is pregnant. So she's coming with all of this joy and she thinks Teddy is helping. She thanked her for being there when they first couldn't find Betty. Teddy was there to kind of help out, take a little stress away, watch Leo while they go to look for her, things like that. So she's has a different relationship with Teddy now. Like, I know you're Owen's ex, but you're also his best friend. I want to adopt this kid. I'm happy about it. You guys' faces are like, So she's like, what's up? Of course, that's the cliffhanger. So we have to wait until after the fall break to see what happens there. But like I said, there is a lot going on. We don't know how this is going to turn out between Owen, Teddy, and Amelia. But like Amelia brought up the fact that also she may have to move out of the home with Teddy because of, with Owen because of her wanting to adopt Betty and the whole situation with Leo and blah, blah, blah. It could be a lot of drama there. Let's see. Okay. So Jazz 41173 says it was on private practice. So yeah, so Nevermore 667, she may have been happy in LA, but then she hit that roadblock. And like, we know that tumor she's had for a while. So like I said, it affected her emotions and everything like that. So yeah, well, thank you guys for letting me know that it happened during private practice. But basically, everybody is kind of stuck in the elevator. So this windstorm has cut out the power. So you have Teddy, Owen, and Amelia stuck in an elevator having to deal with talking about their issues. You have, unfortunately, Cece stuck in an elevator when she's supposed to be getting her new heart to live. And you have Meredith and DeLuca stuck in the elevator together. Now that one I am happy about. I hope they do it. Excuse me. I do though. So basically that's how we leave off. Also back to Smit and Dr. Lee. They show a little something going on to where it looks like there's some electrical problems out there that probably caused the power going out in the hospital, but they possibly could have been affected by that in that ambulance. Like I said, we'll have to wait till the fall premiere after the fall break to see what happens with them. So I'm still going to do our special segment this week of Who Served the Cure. Just let the music play out. If you guys have your special quotes, moment, or whatever from this week, hop in the chat really quickly. Let me know what your moment was. My moment, I feel like if you guys can't tell by now, like anytime Cece is in the episode, I feel like she drops gems and she's always my cure moment. So she told Meredith that if you don't fight, then like you don't try. If you don't fight, you don't try. And like, you have to squeeze out every part of life and light that you can of this life, because you only get one life. And that is so true. So I took that from, she was telling Meredith that for her love life, but I just take that as a life lesson. No matter what you're going through, you have to fight. Life is a fight, guys. Man, life is a fight. Try to get through that without being emotional. But especially holidays are coming up. People go through things. You have to go through a holiday with dealing with the loss of a loved one, maybe even a breakup, whatever it is. And sometimes you kind of get down, and sometimes you get to a place where you kind of feel like you can't fight anymore. But you have to. Life is a fight. Squeeze everything you have out of it. Show your light, so that you can go on, just fight. So that was my moment. See what you guys have. Okay, still kind of talking about... Jazz411 said, but don't hospitals have backup generators in these cases? They probably do. That just was like the dramatic, like, cliffhanger. They may just not have kicked on by that time. So that was just a cliffhanger there. I'll wait to see if you guys have some more cure things. I'll move on to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So I'm just going to start with Meredith and DeLuca. They're going to totally make out in the elevator. Jazz, I actually don't want the generators to come back on, because I want DeLuca and Meredith to have that moment. With that being said, I always contradict myself with my predictions and everything, because I'm like, but with that being said, I do want the generators to come on, because I want Cece to live. I want them to get her to an OR. But then again, I don't want them to come on, because I want Amelia, Teddy, and Owen to hash this out. Because like I said, this is a sit-down type of conversation. You don't just blurt out something like that, Teddy. So hopefully Cece lives. And they have enough time, Teddy, Owen, and Amelia, in that elevator to hash these things out, to get to some type of solution of their problems. That's what I'm hoping for. I am also hoping, like I said, I like Schmidt and Dr. Lee, so I'm hoping that they're okay and they're safe and that they start dating and then they're happy. Happily ever after. Let's see. Okay, so I'm going to read you guys this cure things for a moment. But my other prediction will be... that Cece lives, because I still want her to help Meredith, because she's the reason why Meredith went up to Link and asked him for drinks. Told him, like, hey, does the offer still stand? Let's go out. So I'm hoping that Cece can make it through and that she can continue to guide and help Meredith through her love life, because she is going to need some help, because she's going to be stuck between DeLuca and Link. So I'm going to say Cece lives and she's going to continue to help Meredith. So that's what I have for a prediction. So before we go, let's just see what you guys have for the cures or anything like that. Oh, Nevermore 667, girl. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not sure of your gender, but listen, I thought the same thing. So they say Wind Baby Alex and Joe is my prediction. So Wind Baby, like, because they were definitely making out and everything, and I thought the same thing. I'm like, ooh, they're going to have a baby. So I kind of hope that for them. Let's see. It goes into stress. Oh, this is a prediction from Jazz. She says, to keep the theme of interruptions, just as they tell Amelia about the baby, the patient goes into distress. Once again, not able to. I don't want that to happen, Jazz. They need to talk about this. But I can see in Grace fashion that that is what happens. I believe this is a cure moment where they like how Richard told Bailey... told Bailey off because she was trying to fix the inside from the outside. That was a good one. All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining me in the chat tonight. Thank you for helping me out with this episode and with this review of Grey's Anatomy. Listen, all of this drama has me stressed, and I cannot wait to see the rest of season 15. I feel like Pennywise right now. Like, I want to go and get what he's got, because he's got something for me. That's going to be up on the screen right now. Like, that's me right now. I am crawling into the sewer tunnel thingy, because I need the rest of season 15 now. It's so many cliffhangers with almost all of the characters, and I just can't wait weeks for these answers, but we have to. I know you guys are going to be in anticipation just as I am, but make sure when it returns, you return to us and catch us here on AfterBuzz for the review. Once again, I'm Elle Marie. You guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Elle Marie TV. And I hope you guys all have a happy Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much. See you guys. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.